I would ask once again that you would turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. As you can see in the bulletin, I'll once again read verses 25 through 40, though the focus of the sermon will be on verses 38 through 40. It will be, in terms of themes, some repetition from when we looked at verse 37. But the ground of those themes will be somewhat different. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Let's give careful attention to the reading of God's most holy and infallible word. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may remember 2 weeks ago when we looked at verse 37. That I indicated verse 37 contained within it three of the 5 points of Calvinism in one verse. And we reflected on that quite a bit, recognizing that in verse 37 there was just so much packed into this. All that the Father gives me will come to me. The Father gives to the Son. He gives to the Son people like you and me. He chooses to give certain sinners to the Son. But notice, those whom he gives, Jesus said, they will come. They will come. Not maybe. The door's open, you have to just use your free will and come in. No, they will come. That's the doctrine of irresistible grace. But Jesus continued even further, "And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Jesus will never. And you may remember 2 weeks ago when we looked at that verse, how as John recorded this incident for us, that what is used here is a double negative, which in English is a grammatical no-no. You probably have nightmares still of your English teachers correcting your English. Maybe even your parents and grandparents, when you try to use a double negative and they twist it around just to make the point. Some of you may be twitching even now, I don't know. But in the Greek, as it's presented here for us, the purpose of the double negative is one of emphasis. Jesus will never cast you out. Never. That's the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. Well, the truth is, as we continue in verses 38 through 40, that doctrine gets unfolded even further. And so we're still dealing with this question of the perseverance of the saints. In one part, because we need to have the confidence that what God says is true about the salvation he offers. In another sense, that's very much related to that first sense, you and I are weak. And we struggle with things in the day-to-day, and we start to question ourselves, am I really saved? Am I really one who belongs to God? Will God change his mind about me? Well, Jesus is trying to remind us that that's not the case. I will never cast you out. Well, verses 38 through 40 sort of give us a reason why it is that God, more specifically, why Christ himself will never cast you out. We come with a further reason, a further foundation, if you will, to the doctrine of perseverance of the saints. And so what I hope to show from these verses this morning is simply this. The will of the Father guarantees that true believers are forever secure in Christ. The will of the Father guarantees that true believers are forever secure in Christ. We're going to look at this under two headings. First of all, the will of God and our security. Secondly, the will of God and the last day. So first of all, the will of God and our security. Look again at verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Christ came down from heaven. Now we've seen this before. Jesus has already expressed this before, that he came. He came down from heaven. Christ came willingly to do the will of the Father. As God the Son, he did not come into this world kicking and screaming as if, you know, we as parents ask our kids to take out the trash or to go to bed. No, Jesus came and he came willingly. He came to do the will of the Father. The other aspect of this, if we take a step back and remember some of the bigger Christological, that is, things related to the doctrine of Christ, who Christ is, what he came to do, the bigger picture to remember is that when Christ came, he did not begin to exist. He already existed. And you may be thinking, well, why do I need that big picture? Well, in part, it's grounded in your perseverance. That's what gives a good foundation, is that Christ always was, in terms of his divinity. He always was God the Son according to his divine nature. That's important. Christ came. He did not begin. Yes, he began as the God-man at his conception. In the womb of the Virgin Mary, we understand that. But as God the Son, he eternally was. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ came. Christ came. He's come down from heaven. He didn't come down from Bethlehem. Yes, he was born in Bethlehem. We understand that. but he came from heaven, heaven itself, the abode of God, because he is God. And that becomes a huge, important foundation to recognize that the one who will not cast you off is the one who came down from heaven. He did not cease or start to exist. This is why Christ will not cast you off. It is grounded in his very divine existence. But he came down from heaven. Notice what Jesus says here. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This becomes the fundamental reason here that Jesus is presenting to his disciples, to the Jews in his audience, to you and to me. He did not come to do his own will, but the Father's will. Now we need to remember again that connection between the Son coming willingly and the Father sending. You cannot separate the two. In eternity past, if you can use that expression, the Father sent, determined, that the triune God determined that the Father would send the Son and the Son would willingly go to redeem sinners like you and me, and the Spirit would apply that redemption to our lives. God the Son, according to his human nature, did not do his own will. In fact, from a theological perspective, his will was to do the will of his Father. That was his purpose. He came to do the will of his Father, not his own will. We need to understand and stress this importance. Christ willingly did this out of love for you and for me. He desires to do the Father's will. And since it's the Father's will that he's doing, that becomes for us another reason why we can be assured of our salvation. We can be assured of the reality that we will persevere to the end because Jesus Christ does the will of the Father. Christ will not cast you off because he is doing the will of the Father, which tells you that it is the will of the Father that the Son not cast you off. It's not just the Son's will, it's the Father's will. Now, again, it's important to pause here for a moment, because we need to understand that within the Trinity there is one divine will, one. It is not God the Father having a will and God the Son having a will. The language that is used here is being used in terms of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, in terms of the reality of what we call the hypostatic union, two natures in one. And as such, because Jesus Christ had a truly human nature, he had a human will. Jesus Christ had two wills. Now, we talk about other individuals having two wills, and most of the time that's because they're all confused. But there's no confusion here. A human will and a divine will, the divine will. And so when we speak of the Son doing the will of the Father, it is God the Son, according to his human nature, submitting to the will of his Father. Volumes have been written on this subject. It's also in part why we have the Nicene Creed and what later became known as the Chalcedon Definition. Two natures, one person forever. But we also need to understand when we're speaking of God's will, the will of God, this becomes a topic of so much confusion because frequently when Christians start, especially when you get into debates about Calvinism, Christians end up talking right past each other. Who can resist God's will? Well, every time people sin, they resist God's will. They've just talked right past each other. Because the will of God, as it's presented in Scripture, can have a couple of different facets or a couple of different understandings. There's His will of decree, that which God decrees. That is the will that no one can resist. What God decrees will come to pass. But there's also His prescribed will, not prescribed, prescribed, precepts, His commands. You and I know that that's the kind of will we resist all the time. What Jesus is speaking here is the will of God's decree. The Son came to do the decrees of God. But you know something? The truth of the matter is there's also a side where this is as God the Son, according to His human nature, He's doing what God prescribed Him to do, to come into the world and offer Himself. This is why Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 that He became obedient. The author of Hebrews reminds us that our great high priest learned obedience. He came to do the will of the Father. And what a beauty it is that in the person of Jesus Christ perfectly fulfills the will of the Father. That too should give you encouragement. Will God keep a sinner like me? The Son perfectly keeps the will of the Father. Now, as we look at verse 38 further, and verse 39, it further defines that will of God. This is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but I will raise it up in the last day. Now, it's interesting because as you look at verse 37, which we looked at 2 weeks ago, I will in no way cast off. Now, some, especially those that try to argue against the biblical teaching known as Calvinism, I realize not the best name for it, even Calvin would cringe at it. As we look at verse 37, some people will try to add to the idea. Jesus says there that I will in no wise cast you off. And people will say, yeah, but Jesus saying that He won't cast you off doesn't mean that you being in Christ doesn't mean that you of your own free will jump out of His hand. See, Christ didn't cast you off. You did it to yourself. Verse 38, it's almost 39, it almost anticipates that objection, does it not? Not only will Jesus not cast you off, Jesus is saying He won't even lose you. You're not going to jump out. He's not going to let you. And even in those times of those remnants of sin raising up within you and you try to rebel by His grace, got to stress that, by His grace, He will keep you. He will lose nothing of that which the Father has given Him. So not only will He not cast you off, He won't lose you. Now, you and I know full well what it's like to lose things. You lose your keys. You lose the pen that you just had. I'm finding more and more. I lose my glasses. I'm sure you have that too. Losing things is not something you choose to do. I mean, after all, who among us chooses to lose something? I know I'm going to leave my keys in this place right here so that when I wake up, I'll know where they are. And then you wake up and you look and they're not there. Kind of like your shoes too, right? But see, Jesus doesn't have this problem. He doesn't lose anything. He loses nothing of that which the Father has given Him. Nothing. Christ will not only not cast you off, but he will not lose you either. That's why you'll persevere. That's why you can be sure of your security in Christ. And understand that when Christ says that I should not lose, or excuse me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, that's grounded in what? This is the will of him who sent me. Christ will not lose you because it's the Father's will that he not lose you. All grounded in the will of God. You'll never be lost. And of course, Jesus refers to the expression again, all he has given me. All that he has given me. We saw again that these all that are given, these were the gift of God, the Father, to God the Son. You are God's gift. God's will was to give you to the Son. God's will is such that the Son will never cast you off. God's will is such that Christ will never lose you. This is all grounded in the will of God. And who can thwart his will? Do you also see the implication here that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot thwart the will of the Father? But the will of Jesus Christ, according to his human nature, is in perfect harmony with that of his Father. Now, that's a lot to think about. To try to wrap our minds around something like that is amazing, because you and I know people change their mind all the time. Consistently. Sometimes minute by minute. I mean, even just trying to figure out what to have for dinner can be an example of this. But our God's will is never thwarted. It never changes. For a moment, let me just read for you a portion of the Westminster Confession of Faith from chapter 17. It's on the chapter of perseverance of the saints. And there's a clause in here that I'm really trying to stress based on this text. This is paragraph 2 of chapter 17. This perseverance of the saints depends not upon their own free will, that is, the Christians. It doesn't depend on our will, but upon, and listen to this clause, the immutability of the decree of election. The will of God. Your perseverance, in part, depends upon the will of God, not our will. And so when you fail, and you do, I do, we all do, we still struggle with the remnants of sin. Our perseverance is dependent upon God's will. That should give us assurance because it does not depend upon us. My friends, let's be honest. If it depended upon us, we'd be in trouble. But it depends upon the will of God. That's where our security is grounded, the will of God. The Father gives. You will come to Christ if the Father's given you. You will be one whom Christ will never cast off. You will be one whom Christ will never, ever lose, because that's the will of God. That should encourage you. I hope it does. I pray that it does. It's given to you to be encouraged. Well, this brings us then to our second point, the will of God and the last day. Verse 39 again. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Now, so far as we've been looking at God's will, we've been really focusing on this moment of salvation, those who are saved. And that's true. There's no question about that. That's really where the focus of Christ is he's ministering to these Jews who really just want to make him king because he filled their bellies. But Christ is looking well beyond that. The will of the Father in this context is focused on those who are to be saved. It's focused on the purpose for which Christ has come. The Son was sent to die. But we also need to understand that the will of God goes well beyond this concept, as wonderful a concept as it is. We need to broaden our understanding of the concept of salvation. We tend to focus on the subjective feelings, as it were, our faith, our justification. Even if we start getting into systematic theological terms, justification, sanctification, adoption, all those things, as true as it is, but Jesus goes beyond even those things. He speaks of the last day. Do you understand that the last day is subsumed under this concept of the will of God? The danger, if we're not being careful and not paying attention, is to get so bogged down into that subjective experience of salvation, wonderful as it is, that we miss the end. We forget the end. We forget that the end is also decreed. It is also a part of the will of God. The will of God, the will of the Father, is far broader in its scope. Now, interestingly enough, we frequently get caught up in the question of determining for ourselves, what's God's will for my life? I fear that most people ask that question because they're looking for the path of least resistance. When the reality is, part of that will may be involving suffering. But one thing we should understand is that with the will of God, there's an end goal. There's an end. There's a purpose. There's, if you want to use somewhat philosophical language, a teleological, it's based on the Greek word end, with a goal in mind. There's a purpose behind all of this. We get so caught up in God's will for our lives. We get caught up in the discussions of tough decisions nonetheless, and there's a place for it. What's God's will for me for school? Where should I go to college? Should I go to college? A job. Should I take this job over here or this job over there? A place to live. A spouse. These are all legitimate things that we live in the here and now, but what about God's ultimate will for the end? Verse 39 again. That I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. It's not just the here and now. The here and now counts for forever, as R.C. Sproul used to say. Right now counts forever. I will raise it up at the last day. Thus, we as finite creatures who often worry and get bogged down in trying to determine God's will for me, what's God's will for me in such and such item today? As important as those things are, the will of God that Christ should lose none of us should be a comfort, because those of us who are in Christ will be raised at the last day. It goes beyond today. It is not just the here and now. You see, God's will has an eternal perspective. His perspective is eternal. It has the end goal in view. And that goal, as spelled out for Christ right here, one of the aspects of that is he will raise it up. Notice that it's Christ who does it. Christ will raise you up. Christ, the one who will not cast you off, the one who will not lose you, you can be assured that at the last day, whenever that may be, he will raise you up. That's the will of the Father. Do you want to determine God's will for your life, for you as a Christian? Here it is. Christ will raise you up at the last day. And so as important as figuring out whether to go to school, which school to go to, where to live, what job to take, all important things for the here and now, to be sure. And you're trying to figure this out, but you know what? You have a picture given to us by Christ here that you understand God's will. God's will is that Christ will raise you up at the last day. That's the hope that we have. That's the hope we have as Christians. That's why your security is grounded in the will of God. God has willed that the Son will raise you up at the last day. What an enormously important truth that is. Because no matter what this world throws at you, what struggles you face in this world, you can know that it is the Father's will that the Son raise you up the last day so that you can endure, so that you can press on, so that you can persevere to the end, all grounded in the immutability of the decree of God in his electing some to salvation, electing you who have faith to salvation. That's God's will. He will raise it up. And clearly this points to the general resurrection when Christ returns. I will raise it up. Christ is the subject of that verb there, to raise. Christ will do it. Because he won't cast you off. And he won't lose you. Because it's the will of his Father. And he came to do the will of his Father. So that even on the last day, Christ will continue to do the will of his Father and raise you up the last day. Such perfect harmony between the will of God and what Christ accomplishes and what Christ does. There is no plan B. There is no adjusting based on circumstances. Christ will raise you again on the last day. What a beautiful hope. What a wonderful truth that Christ is going to fulfill the will of his Father. This is the Christian's hope. Now, to what extent his immediate audience understood that, it's not fully clear. But you and I, with the total sum of special revelation given to us in his written word, all things necessary for life and godliness, we understand, it reminds us that Christ will come again. There's a last day, and for you to be raised, Christ needs to come again. That's part of the will of the Father. Christ will come again. And in fact, you put the two together. Being raised up by Christ at the last day is as sure and as certain as his return. We speak frequently and know that Christ is going to return, but sometimes we doubt our salvation. Christ here with this statement that he will raise all those whom the Father has given him at the last day should be just as certain in our minds as the return of Christ himself. Because he returns to raise you up, to give the kingdom back to his Father, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. And this is to eternal life, a theme that just runs rampant, in a good sense, throughout this gospel. Eternal life. Eternal life. The future of day of the resurrection is not even the end. In a sense, it's the beginning. Eternal life. Now, truly, we understand that God alone is eternal, never had a beginning, never will have an end. And so when the Bible here speaks of Christians in Christ, united to Christ, coming to faith in him and being granted eternal life, what we mean here is that it is not intrinsic to our being. Eternal life is given by God. It is itself a gift. We are not intrinsically eternal. We can't be, otherwise we'd be God. But the point here is that life in God, in the will of God, through Christ, by the Spirit, is life eternal. It's eternal life. He promises and grants eternal life to those who believe on Christ. As we looked at verse 37 a couple of weeks ago, we understood that there was an element of human responsibility here. And Jesus, in these concluding words of verse 40, gives us that clearly. Because there's an element, there's an importance of human responsibility. What do we need to do? We need to look to the Son. Isn't that what Jesus says here? We look to the Son. Everyone who looks on the Son and believes upon him, believes in him. All the ones looking on the Son is somewhat more wooden to the translation there. In other words, you and I have the responsibility to look to the Son. You and I have the responsibility to believe upon the name of the Son. And those who look to the Son, those who believe in the name of the Son, Jesus says, I will raise him up at the last day. I will raise him up. Looking here is tied to believing. And remember, we've talked about this before. It's not clear in English, but in the original Greek, the root for believing and the root for faith is the same root. One is just the verb form. The other is just the noun form. Believing is faith. Faith is believing. And we understand that salvation comes to us through faith. And so you've got that human responsibility element to it. It's you believe upon Christ and understand that the object of your faith is not your faith itself. It's Jesus Christ, the one who came to do the will of his Father. I would encourage you to really look back today, this afternoon, at verses 37 through 40, and focus on the reality of the will of the Father. The Father willed to give you to the Son, to gift you to the Son, and Christ will not cast you off. He won't cast you off because he came down from heaven to do his Father's will. to do his Father's will. And what is his will? That he would lose nothing of all that the Father has given him. Not only not lose it, but raise you up at the last day. Raise you up. Nobody really knows what our future holds. What will happen this afternoon? But we do know what will happen at the end, because we have the immutable decree of God revealed to us. Christ will raise you up at the last day. You who have faith in Jesus Christ can be assured Christ will raise you on the last day. And I've mentioned before, sometimes we struggle in our faith. Our faith is weak. We wonder, we doubt, we struggle. But even a little faith gets all of Christ. And even a little faith can be assured of the promise of God here, the promise of Christ here, that he will raise you up at the last day. That's our hope. Your eternal security is grounded in the will of the Father. It is grounded in the will of the Father. The will of the Father guarantees that you are forever secure in Christ. You want to know what God's will is for your life? There it is. You're secure in Christ. I may not have a clue what's going to happen to me tomorrow, the next day, the day after that. But the one thing I have more than just a clue about is that Jesus Christ will raise us up at the last day. That's perseverance. That's assurance of salvation. That's the hope that you and I are called to. And I want you to remember, all of this is in the context of Jesus Christ being the bread of life. He is the bread of life that the Father gives, that we partake of. And all of this is connected to the will of his Father. This is something that should give us some relief from the struggles we face in the day-to-day. Why am I going through this? Why am I going through that? We may not know the answer to some of those things. God in his grace sometimes reveals to us why certain things we go through. But sometimes he doesn't. And there's, even on that side, no guarantee that God will reveal it to us on the other side of glory. He may. But in one sense, on the other side of glory, we may not care all that much, except beyond praising God. But one thing we can be assured of, your security rests in the will of the Father, because he's given you to the Son. And the Son will never cast you off, will never lose you, but will raise you up at the last day to eternal life, all to the praise of his glory. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and God in heaven, we do give you thanks for what your word teaches us, what our Savior teaches us with these words. That he came from heaven to do your will. And that will was that he would lose none of us that you have given to him, but instead raise us up at the last day. That his will is that all of us who look upon him and believe in him, that we would have eternal life and be raised up on the last day. Father, we don't know what tomorrow holds. But may we trust in the words of our Savior that we know what the last day holds, that he will raise us up and usher us into eternal life, where we will sing his praise and his glory forever and ever and ever. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.